Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Psalm 51 tonight. Amen. I'll give you some time to get there and the team time to settle down a little bit. But we're going to talk about a steadfast heart and about having a steadfast heart and what that means to us. All right. Psalm 51, we'll go there in just a minute. God's good. Yes. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 51. Now, Psalm 51, just if you don't know, which you, some of you probably know, this is the Psalm of Repentance by David. Now, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that. But that doesn't mean he was perfect and he was without any faults or any failures. So that's encouraging to me because I don't know about you, I've got faults and failures that, you know, none in Christ, but, you know, the ones that I have, I make them myself, all right? So it is encouraging to me that God doesn't throw you away, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so David... I mean, he blew it about as big as you can blow it. You know, he's out on his roof one day. He's the king's palace. He's out on the roof. So far, so good. Nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, he just gets up. He's in, you know, it's the evening time, and he's just out, you know, for a little walk on top of the roof, and he sees a woman that's bathing. And, you know, and the Bible says she was beautiful to behold. And so he asked his men, he says, who is this? And they said, this is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. How many know that's, how many know David should have stopped it right then? Right? I mean, really, when he went out on the roof and he saw the woman bathing, you know, he should have went back in the house. Right. But, you know, listen now, I mean, you know, once he found out she was a married woman, it's really time to get back in the house, right? And so, but he doesn't do it. You know, he sends for her, and then you know what happens. They lie down together, and sometime later she sends a message to him and says, "I'm pregnant." And so her husband happens to be one of David's military men. And when you study it, he was one of the mighty men. He was one of his strong men. And he was a loyal man. So David, you know, he tries to deceive and he gets him to come home, you know, and thinking he'll go lie with his wife and then, you know, they'll think the child's his. And the guy was so loyal, he slept outside the king's palace. So David calls him in and said, you know, hey, here's some food and stuff, you know, go home to your wife. And he said, how can I do that when the armies of Israel, armies of my lord, the king, are out there fighting battles? So the guy wouldn't go back to his house, you know. This is a loyal guy. And so David decides, you know, that he's going to, you know, have him killed. So he sets him in, you know, he tells his commander, Joab, he says, take Uriah the Hittite, put him in the hottest part of the battle, go up towards the city wall where you're fighting, which was a no-no. Joab knew better than that. David knew better than that. All the mighty army men, they knew better than that. You don't get close to the wall. Amen. And so they went close to the wall, and he said, just retreat a little bit from Uriah, and, you know, the sword devours one as well as the other. In other words, it's battle. You know, people are going to die. And so Joab did the thing and Uriah died. Now, you know, David didn't physically kill him, but he killed him. Amen. Right. And so y'all looking kind of mean right now. The story's going to get better. Hang on. All right. Y'all looking like, hey, God, I didn't come to church for this. I think it's good to know that somebody that really made it big blew it big. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. David has two sides to his life. Amen. You know, he was a man after God's own heart. I mean, he was the greatest king Israel ever had. But he blew it here. And so, you know, I don't know how long it took him to repent, but some time went by, and finally Nathan the prophet comes in, and he tells him a little story. He said, you know, there was a guy came in town, you know, and this one guy, he had one little lamb, that's all he had, but this guy that, you know, there was a guy came in town, and he came to a man, and this man was very, you know, wealthy, had all kinds of sheep and animals, and he said, but this man, he went and took the one little lamb away from the one guy and took it to feed the guy that came to see him. And David got riled up and said, who's the man? I'll kill him myself. And Nathan said, you're that man. You have all these wives. You know, that, those days that was something that they did. Doesn't mean God was in it. Amen. You know, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Eve's. So anyway, man did that, but anyway, you know. And so anyway, we'll just let that rest. We could preach on that a little bit. But anyway, so Nathan says, you're the man. I mean, Uriah had one wife, that's all he had, this little lamb that was dear to him, and you took it, and you killed him. And so after Nathan leaves, David repents. This is Psalm 51. And so thank God for God's mercies. Amen. But here's what I wanted you to see. I'm not going to read all this because there's too much here. We got some other scriptures I want to look at tonight. But let's go to Psalm 51 and verse 7. David said, purge me with hyssop. Now, hyssop was a plant that Israel used to sprinkle blood. They used it, you know, like the Passover. They would dip the hyssop in blood and place it on the mantles and the lintels of the door. And so, and the priest would do that. He would take the hyssop and he'd sprinkle, you know, ceremonial, sacrificial, cleansing blood with that. So that's what David's talking about. When he says, purge me with hyssop, he's talking about cleanse me with the blood. I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Now that tells me that God's been dealing with David for a piece of time. Because he feels like his bones have been broken. Anybody ever missed it before? Anybody ever felt like your bones are being broken? It's time to repent, right? Amen. You feel, you know, now I know there's teaching today that says, now you should never feel guilty for anything. Well, you shouldn't feel guilty unless you're guilty. Amen. Now, once you repent, then you ought to let it go, right? You know, but if you're guilty, you're guilty, right? Amen. Now, he said, verse 8, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, here's what I want to get to. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew, this is the King James, it says a right spirit within me. What it means is an upright or a steadfast spirit within me. In other words, David is simply saying, my heart has not been steadfast as of late, and I need that renewed. I need a renewal of a steadfast spirit within me. Well, I want to talk to you about that tonight. And I'm going to look at just a few passages. We won't look at too many, but maybe a little bit more than normal, if that's all right. Yep. If it's not, well, I'm still going to do it, right? You know, because that's what my assignment is. Now, so we understand that we need something called a steadfast spirit. What is that? That's a spirit that's unmovable, unchangeable. Amen? Right? One that's not fluctuating. Amen. You know, now you know, when a person's a babe in the Lord, you know, there's a lot of grace for that. But as we get older, I've seen older saints that they just come and go so often. I mean, for a while they're on fire for God, and then you have to chase after them and go after them and text them and call them and send them letters. And then they'll get back in and they'll be on fire for God. And then they'll be good for a while. And you think, man, my goodness, they're going to take the city. And then the next thing you know, well, they're down again and they're out again. And, you know, they don't show up to church much. And you know what I'm saying? They're just not steadfast. And God wants to help them. He didn't want to beat them up. He wants to help them. Because we need a steadfast spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. We're the same all the time. Amen. Nobody should be knowing that we're going, you know, I mean, we can tell people we're going through trouble, but we shouldn't, you shouldn't be able to look at us and say they're having problems. Hallelujah. We ought to be more steadfast than that. You know, the Bible tells us to serve the Lord with gladness, not grumpiness. Here, sometimes, man, I'll see people in church, I'm thinking, dear Lord, man, if you're happy and you know it, notify your face, you know. Come on. I'd quit the ministry tomorrow if everybody looked like you. Come on. And you know what? Listen, you know, people say, well, I just don't believe in putting on. Well, the Bible says put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision for the flesh. You got to learn it's your flesh that wants to be sad. It's your flesh that wants to be unsteady. It's not your spirit, man, that God made. He wants to come to church. He wants to feed on the Word of God. He wants to worship. He wants to fellowship. I'm really convinced a lot of people are depressed, and the reason they're depressed is because they're not letting their spirit have any expression whatsoever, and they're born again. See, and so their spirit man's depressed, if as it were, and they think, well, you know, it's because this is going on, that's going on. You know, if I ever get this in line, if I ever get all my ducks in line, man, I'll tell you why, I'm gonna be a shouting fool, Pastor. Well, you already got the fool part down, so let's work on the shout part. How about that? See, that's foolish to think that. Don't get offended at me. I didn't call you a fool. I'm just saying you got the fool part down. Amen. Amen. You know, and so what do I mean by that? Well, I mean by that that you're living your life based on natural outward circumstances and how you feel instead of what God's done for you. And when you live that way, you are going to be up. You are going to be down. See, if you're dependent on somebody else to make you happy, you're already in trouble. That's right. David said, my joy is in God. Right. Amen. He said in Psalms, he said, God, my exceeding joy. Yes. Amen. Well, if circumstances just get right, you know, and you know, sometimes when you're in a ministry, the devil will try to get you off on that. Well, you know, I mean, I remember when I first started pastoring a church, you know, you'd have some Sundays, there'd be a lot of people there, and some Sundays that there wouldn't be as much there. And it's still that way. Some Sundays it's like, we need another building. Some Sundays like, we'll be okay. You know what I'm saying? It's just that way, man. You know, and but at first I didn't realize that's just the way it is. It's the way people are. You know, I heard one guy say, he said, my church grows or decreases every Sunday by 500 people. I thought, well, mine, that's not by 500 people, but probably percentage-wise more than yours does, you know, maybe. But he said, yeah, he said up or down 500 people, you know, every week, you know. He said he doesn't ever know. And see, the Lord finally said to me, he said, you know, because I'd be up one day, you know, woo, glory to God, man. I mean, we had a good crowd day. And the next Sunday, well, where'd they go? You know, and so the Lord spoke to me. He said, why don't you just shepherd who shows up?
Okay.
I thought, well, I can do that. Shepherd who shows up. That's all you can do anyway. You can't shepherd who doesn't show up. Just shepherd who shows up.
Amen.
And enjoy this. So I finally, years ago, some of you remember this, I had a saying back then, I'm going to enjoy this if I have to kill every one of you. You know what I meant by that? I mean, I'm going to enjoy this. You may not, but I'm going to enjoy this. All right. Praise God. Amen. So, but we got to learn just to be steadfast. We're not moved all the time. We're not changing all the time.
Right.
You know, when I went down to high school very long, I worked for a boss that he was very unsteady. I mean, you just never knew. One day he'd be in a good mood. The next day he'd be in a terrible mood for no reason that you knew of whatsoever, that you hadn't done anything. And I just don't like to be around people like that. I may love them, but I don't like to hang around them. You know what I'm saying? I want to be around somebody I know isn't going to, you know, be nice to me one day and then bite my head off the next day. I want somebody that's a little bit more steadfast than that. God is looking for some people that have some steadfast spirits. And David knew he blew it. He knew, you know, man, I've not been steadfast of late. I have wavered. I have slipped. I have let things go. And so he says, God, renew in me a steadfast spirit. Where I'm the same all the time, man. I'm serving you whether I'm in the house of the Lord or whether I'm in Walmart. I'm the same. I'm a Christian at church, but I'm a Christian outside. You know, we used to say, act like Christians. Well, it's a sad day when we have to start acting like something. We ought to just be something, amen? Now, go to 2 Chronicles. Let me share you there. Like I said, I'm going to look at a few passages tonight instead of just preaching from a one or two or three. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. I'll tell you what. You know, Brother Hagin used to say this. You know, after you've been in the ministry so long, he said, you just stumble over some things, you know. You wasn't even trying to learn it. You just fell over it. Just, you know, and after almost this, let's see, let me think here. I'm trying to think how many years I've been. Let's see. Next year will be 40 years. Wow. Now, in 40 years, I've been around a lot of churches, a lot of preachers. I've seen a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not a novice at this any longer. And so you just, you can't help but learn some things, you know. You know, it's like, even if you're not even trying, and I'm trying. So I got a little step ahead of that. And what Brother Hagin said, he said, you know, you just fall over some things if you just pay attention. Now, let's go here to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. At that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa. Seer was an old word for prophet. Came to Asa, king of Judah, and he said unto him, because you've relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Now apparently, you know, he thought that, you know, this thing was too big, you know, and he needed to reach out for some natural help. But God didn't like that. He didn't like that. See, I learned, you know, when I first started in the ministry, you know, I just thought because if you had a big name or you had a big ministry, that you knew what you were doing. I just thought that. And I went for a long time thinking that until as I began to grow in the ministry, I thought, well, that's not true because some of these guys with big ministries, some of them are goofed up. Some of them aren't even preaching the truth. Yeah. And some of the things they say, there used to be ministers I listened to, everything they said, I just took it, man, that's the gospel, man, that's it. Man, because, I mean, you know, look how popular they are. And I learned real quick. Well, I didn't learn real quick. It took me a number of years to learn. And that's not true. I began to find out, you know what, some of the guys I hang around with and nobody knows preach a better word than these guys do. And so I tried to get them, even to this day, I try to give me some of your CDs. And they think I'm joking. No, I mean it. Send me your CDs, you know. And, you know, a few will filter in, you know, and then it'll stop, you know, because they, you know, they just don't believe it. They don't believe you. Well, why aren't you listening to Brother So-and-so that's on TV and all? Well, Brother So-and-so on TV may be good, but I found out he doesn't know any more than you do when it comes to the Bible. Matter of fact, you may know more than he does. And so, you know, I just learned a long time because, you know, when I first started in ministry, I was around some preachers and they ministered a certain way. And I thought, well, that's the way I'm going to do it. You know, I mean, I hadn't started in ministry, but I mean, they were, you know, like Brother Eddie, who's been here. I mean, he's a preacher now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I thought, you know, I remember my first sermon. I'm going to preach like Brother Eddie, you know, I even learned to slap, you know, because he'd get going, he'd slap his leg. I thought, well, I got to learn how to do that, you know, and, you know, it's just, you know, I'm saying, you're just a babe in the Lord. I haven't preached a sermon yet, but, you know, I'm going to preach one, praise God. So I'm going to preach like him. It didn't take me long to find out I wasn't him. Didn't take me long to find out I didn't have the same gift as he had. It didn't take me long to find out, you know, God's called me to teach the Bible. Now, one's not more important than the other. Unless you're immature, they're the same. You know, if you're immature, which people are sometimes, and they think, well, one's better than I like teaching. I don't like that preaching. Well, I like preaching. I don't like that teaching. Well, you just need to grow up and accept everything that God's given us, right. All the giftings that God's given us. Right. Are you with me now?
Yes.
I mean, you could have your favorites. God's not against that, but don't be like the Corinthians. I'm Paul. I'm Apollos. You know, I'm of Peter. Some were of Christ. Thank God for that. Those are probably, really, that sounds good, but those are probably the real super spiritual people. So I don't listen to anybody but Jesus. They were probably messed up.
Amen.
And we have those in the church too. You know, only God can tell me what to do. Well, he told you to submit.
Yeah.
So why don't you start that? Start working on that. All right. Now, hallelujah. My. Verse 9. It's what we want to get to. I mean, don't get stardust in your eyes. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot, I mean, sometimes young believers, they do. Oh, my gosh, man. I mean, you know, he's on TV. Well, all it takes is a camera. It doesn't take, you know what I mean? You could be smart in that area. Don't misunderstand me. You could be smart. But it doesn't mean you know what you're talking about spiritually. There are some people that are right now out in front of the body of Christ. They don't have that much going on spiritually when you really want to get right down to it. It's like I heard the guy, number five, I told you this, and I'm not naming him. I'm not going to slander him because I think he's a good person and I think he loves God. I just think he needs to learn a little bit more. But the number five, I was looking at the top influencers in the body of Christ, the ministers. They had 10 of them, and they influenced the church the most. And number five was a certain guy. I heard his radio program one day. I was going home one night, and I listened to his radio program because there are some teachings he teaches that's really, really good. And there's some stuff, it's like, I got to spit that out. And he said, we don't have authority over the devil. I thought, and this is number five influencing the church, and he's telling the church we don't have authority over the devil, then what in the world are we doing? What are we going to do? We're going to get our brains beat out. See, and a lot of people believe him, and you know what happened? They get their brains beat out because they don't know they have authority over the devil. They don't know they can do anything about. You know what I'm saying? Right. So obviously, even though the guy's got a big church, even though the guy's got a big voice, even though the guy's, you know, this isn't, I'm not naming, I'm not slandering, because I really think he's a good person. I think if he stays on what he knows, he's really good. But you know, you just need to know some more things sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not sit down and listen to somebody else that knows something too. All right? Is that fair enough?
Amen.
All right. Verse 9. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect or loyal toward him. I mean, God is looking to show himself strong to those that are steadfast. We just stay the same. You know, God loves you. If you're not steadfast, he loves you as much as he loves the steadfast one. But he can't be strong to you.
Right. Okay.
You understand, you can't turn power loose to people that don't know what to do with power.
Right. Yeah,
that's right.
All right. Come on.
You got to know. You know, you ever noticed that? You ever seen the cars around town that are student driver cars? Did you ever notice they don't use, like, you know, cars with 500 horsepower? There's a reason why it's a little wind-up toy car. That's because you don't need much power yet, right? I mean, when you push, we want some delay from the time you push the gas down to the car goes. That way we can correct. We don't want something that you push the gas down and it jumps 6 feet. Because you can't handle it. See, God would be the same way. He loves you, but he doesn't want you to have power that you could destroy things with. You know, the Bible tells us about Samuel, Prophet Samuel. Remember him in the Old Testament? It said not one word that he said fell to the ground. All came to pass. Now think about this. What if God turned up the power and every word you and I said came to pass? How many murders would we have committed on Lloyd Expressway? How many old ladies would be in the ditch with their car? You can understand why that power couldn't be turned up, right? Amen. Now, well, everybody breathe. Come on. You say, well, I just think, Pastor, I'm spiritual enough to have it all. Well, I don't know that any of us are that spiritual yet. All right. So, well, we're working on it. Amen. All right. Let me see here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to look at about three more scriptures. I know we're going to some tonight, but it's good for us. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go there. And I want to read this, and then I want to move on to some other things, because God wants us to have a steadfast heart where we're stable, we're unmovable. Amen.
Right.
You know, we get bad news, we're not moved by that.
Right.
we get good news, we're not moved by that. You know what I mean? It doesn't puff us up or make us proud or think, you know, we got it going now. We got it all together. You know what I'm saying? No, you're just blessed. Amen. You know, so just thank God for it. Praise God. And be glad. But don't be proud. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. You know, because I remember the days. I haven't seen it lately, but I do remember the days where I don't know how many preachers. I couldn't tell you how many preachers that I read their bios and they had the fastest growing church. And I thought, now wait a minute. All these guys can't have the fastest growing church. Somebody's got to be putting some jam on this somewhere. And so at that time, when I thought about this, we were over in that other building over there on Vogel Road, in the Vogel Business Park. Anybody remember that building? All right, the Vogel Business Park. We were over there. And I thought, now wait a minute here. You know what? We have the fastest growing church in Vogel Business Park. We were the only church in Vogel Business Park. We were the only church on Vogel Road. So I could have put in my bio, I pastor the fastest growing church in the Vogel Business Park. But I don't think God's pleased when we use props like that. What do we have that He didn't give us?
Amen.
Right? I see these guys, they use these terms, prophet and apostle, like they were giving it out at the dime store. And about 50% of the things they prophesy never comes to pass. And I'm thinking, why is the church, we have mercy, people miss it. I mean, know that, all of us have missed it. But you ought to be, but when you miss a prophecy, you don't go give another one right away. You go hide for a while. Right? I mean, I see these guys, they give a prophecy and it's just flat out wrong. And then the next week they give another one. Well, thus saith the Lord this. I'm thinking, shut up. You should go hide for a little bit. Till we forget about the last one. Is this all right? I mean, it's the truth. I do. I see it, you know. And, you know, I'm apostle this and I'm apostle that. Man, he even started a motor. He had a church. He started a go-kart. You know, if you're an apostle, you know, the Bible tells us that you're blazing, you like Apostle Paul, blazing in the new frontier, starting work, starting churches. You get some of these guys who are 23-year-olds. I'm an apostle. You're wet behind the ears. Shut up. You're not even old enough to be one yet. It'll take a little time. If God, I doubt very much God ever called you to be one, but if He did, you're not going to be one at 23. It'll take a little time to mature into that.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You go, I read through the apostle prophet thing. Say, you're not, everybody say 40 years.
40 years.
I went through the apostle prophet thing where these guys would show up and say, I'm the apostle over your church. Well, how many churches you started? Well, none. Well, get out of here. You're no apostle. Besides that, you didn't start this church. I did. Go start a church. Anyway, praise God. But, you know, they throw these titles around. And I think it was Brother Hagin said, anybody can put a title on an empty, a label on an empty can. Well, you'll get that. You know, empty, you know what I'm saying. You know, you can put a label. You know, my grandma one time, she was a good one for, you know, to buy things at discount. You know what I'm saying? You can get in trouble doing that sometimes. You know, see, it's okay to save money, but if you get cheap money, you get in trouble. So grandma, she would buy these at the grocery store. They'd have these cans, you know, Travis, that the label fell off. So they just throw them all in the cart, and it's like, you know, potluck. You just grab it out. You know what you're buying. But it's only like 25 cents, man. Come on, yard sale people. You know what I'm talking about. You buy stuff just because it's cheap. Why are you going to do that? I don't know. Throw it away, I guess, but it was cheap. So, you know, she bought this one. She opens it up, and it's she goes to fix it, and it's Alpo. It's not beef stew. It looks like beef stew. But on further investigation, Grandma got ripped. Amen. Now, you in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, there's another scripture that says He always causes us to triumph in Christ. See, that's the destiny God has for us. See?
Yeah.
Victory, triumph.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But notice what he said, therefore. You ever heard this? Whenever you find out, whenever you see a therefore, you what? You find out what it's there for. Right? Therefore is therefore for a reason. So therefore, because God gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because God gives us, always gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, always causes us to triumph, because he gives us the victory, we're to remain steadfast. What does that mean? When we feel like being moved off our steadfastness, we have to remember that God gives us the victory. That has to be, you know, up in the front of our thinking, that God gives us the victory. Therefore, don't be moved. Don't be shaken. God's going to give you the victory. You know, I tell this story. It's like, if you've been here long enough, you've heard my stories 374 times, right? But if I start telling new stories and I make them up, that's not good. You know, I'm thinking, well, they're tired of my story, someone's going to make some up. I mean, that's called lying. Right. Well, in preacher world, we call it evangelistically speaking. A little elastic, you know. But anyway, you know, I mean, well, this church has had its challenges financially. We haven't had financial challenges for a long time because we learned how to beat it, all right? But you don't always know that right off the start. You don't know that at the beginning. After a while, you learn how to beat that. You learn how to beat that devil, and you get him out. You don't have any problems with him anymore. So we don't have problems with that anymore. We beat that devil years ago. Now, well, how do you beat it? Well, come back Sunday morning, and I might tell you. I don't know. But yeah, there's a way to beat that devil. And so, you know, because the devil doesn't want the church having money. He didn't want them having property. No, he didn't want them having any real estate for the kingdom of God in this earth. He wants to control it. He'll fight you. Oh, yeah. And he'll use good people. When I say good people, people that don't realize they're being used by the devil to try to keep you from getting it. Sure. Sure you will. You have to deal. And you don't deal with them. You deal with the spirits that's driving them. If you get in a fight with them, you lose your favor. See, you can literally lose your favor with man. See, you not only need favor with God, you need favor with man. Now, God will give you favor with man, but if you're ugly, you're going to blow your favor. So you got to deal with the spirits behind them. And so, you know, anyway, we were like $15,000 behind one time. And I mean, it got to the point where it's like, all right, this has to stop. We got to stop. You can't buy a pencil. Just forget it. You can't buy anything. And then finally it came to where we got to get rid of the pastor. I mean, we got to get rid of everything we can. So we got to get rid of the pastor. I thought, and I remember going home after from the office and I'm thinking, you know, I'm next. I mean, you know, because we're going to pay our bills. You know, I've always ran, I don't mean this in a bragging way, but I just think this is the integrous way to do it. Our policy has always been the bills get paid. That's it. We're going to keep our integrity intact with the community and with God. We pay our bills. If I don't get paid, which that's happened many, 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 many times, not in a long time, but in those beginning days, first years, it happened many times where I didn't get paid because we were going to take care of that business. And so this came to this. And so I'm going, man, you know, I'm driving home, man, and I'm yelling at the devil. And I'm saying, you're not going to run me out of the ministry. You're not going to run me out of the ministry. And the Lord spoke to me just as plain as could be. He said, you're going to preach at this church Sunday morning, which I was going to another church, Signs of Arts, Sunday morning to preach. He said, I want you to give, and he said that pastor, but I knew he meant the church. I know what he's talking about. He said, I want you to give that pastor $1,100 from the church. I said, do you not hear? We're $15,000 behind, and you want me to give more money away? He said this. He said, it'll bless them. I'm thinking it'll bless me. But you know what? Listen, you got to learn, man. Don't be moved. Be steadfast in the Lord. Right? See, I'm thinking my only way to get out of this is get more money. Now, that sounds reasonable, but my way out of this is God.
Yeah. Right?
And so I did what the Lord said. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just put it in the offering. I didn't even tell the pastor we were giving anything. I just put it in the offering. They saw it, believe me. And so, you know, I put it in there. And you know what? God is my witness. It was like 2 weeks' time. We were out of that $15,000 hole.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
I thought, don't be moved. Be steadfast. Amen. Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
It's always good to give, right? Well, you know, I'm just waiting for God to tell me. No, God's already told us that.
Right.
See, yeah, He'll speak to you sometimes and tell you, give a certain amount and give you things. Yeah, He's done that. But you guess what? He said, every man as he purposeth in his heart, right, Pastor Chuck? So that means I can purpose in my heart, and I should be purposing in my heart.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. You never know who needs what. Amen. Who needs blessed, right? Amen. All right. Go to James. Come on, everybody say steadfast heart.
Steadfast.
All right. Go to James. We're kind of gone a lot of different ways here tonight, but it's all right. James chapter 1. Let's go there. And then I want to close with another scripture real close by. James chapter 1. Let's go there. All right. Hallelujah. All right. You and James. All right, go with me. I just want to read one verse here, by the way. James chapter 1 says this, verse 12. Got it? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Now, I want you to notice now, I want to bring something out here. Blessed is the man that endureth, or that remains steadfast during temptation.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't say, blessed is the man that never has any temptation.
Right.
I don't know any man like that.
No.
See, here's where the devil gets young people. They think, well, man, I was tempted to do that. I must be bad. No, the devil tempts.
Right.
Well, I have this ugly thought, Pastor. What do you think I should do with it? Cast it down.
Mm-hmm.
Kick it out. Yeah, but then I had another ugly thought. Well, guess what? You know, Brother Hagin used to say it this way. I don't think it originated with him, but he's who I first heard say it. He said, you can't help if a bird flies over the top, over your head. Right? He said, but you don't have to let it stop and build a nest in your hair.
That's right.
Right.
What does that mean? Well, he was saying, you can't help it. Wrong thoughts come your way. They're going to come, you know, but you don't have to let them roost there.
Right.
I mean, you can get all kinds of wrong thoughts during the day. I mean, just the things you see, billboards, things people said to you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the devil will bring up unpleasant memories, and before you know it, you're thinking, I'm gonna sock him in the face next time I see him. And you realize what you're thinking. That, well, you know, I don't think that that's Bible. I can't find any scripture for sock him in the face when you see him. You know, so I don't think that's Bible. I don't think I can do that, can I? So you call the pastor. Pastor, can I hit people? I mean, you know, is this? No, it's not right. All right. Be a good little sheep. Yeah, but sheep bite. Can I bite? Wolves bite. Okay, I'll be a goat. They can butt. Now, don't be a sheep. Don't be a goat. Don't be a wolf. You be a nice sheep. Amen. So see the thing that I wanted you to see here is, you know, you're going to get tested. And this is where you need to make sure you have a steadfast spirit. Right? Where we don't just, because the Bible says a crown of life is promised to them that love Him. Now, you can put this off to the future, and maybe that's true, but see, there's something going to happen to you. There's blessing going to come to you when you endure temptation. Has anybody ever endured temptation? I mean, don't you get blessed when you endure it? When you don't yield to it? Well, there's something imparted to you from the Spirit of God. There's a blessing. There's an impartation or strength.
Amen.
Now, sometimes we... Now, you don't have to answer, but have you ever blown it before? What kind of feelings does that produce? It takes away from you, doesn't it? See, to yield to that produces death, but to yield to God produces life. That's why you have to be steadfast. You got to understand, the devil knows you. He knows you. He studies you. You understand? See, the Bible talks about resisting the wiles of the devil. You know what that word wiles means? It means tricks or schemes. Now, see, he knows. See, not everybody's going to be tempted by the same thing. It's kind of like I've said with food. You can't tempt me with every kind of food there is out there. Are you listening? I say, you can say, well, I'm telling you what, Pastor, man, let's go out. I'm going to buy you the biggest Caesar salad, and we are going to overeat, brother. I'm like, you're on your own. You know, you're on your own. I'm not tempted. Right? Now, you know, I mean, you know, if your Caesar salad passes by me, you know, we're sitting at the table together. Your Caesar salad passes by me. I'm not even tempted to pluck the tomato. I guess, does the Caesar salad have tomatoes? What does the Caesar salad have? Well, now croutons, I might take those, but the lettuce, romaine lettuce, right? Yeah. Romaine lettuce. I'm not even going to be tempted, like, you know, grab a piece of romaine lettuce when it goes by me. Now, if your barbecue cheese, bacon cheese fries go by me, I might extract a tithe on the way by. The tithe belongs to the Lord, right? I mean, hey. Because there's going to be some temptation there. There's not any temptation. See, the same thing's true in life. What may tempt me might not tempt you at all. What may tempt you may not tempt me at all. But it doesn't matter what it is. What God requires out of us is to remain steadfast. Right. To, listen, blessed is the man that endureth. Yeah. What does that mean? It's not always going to just be a quick thing and it's gone. You may have to fight the thing for a little bit. But God's looking for steadfast people that have a loyal heart. Because that's the one that he's going to show himself strong to.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Now let's go to Peter. We'll close out here. I meant to close before this, but this will be it. Second Peter, chapter 3. I know we went to a lot of scriptures tonight, but they're all good scriptures.
Yeah.
They won't hurt you. How many know that?
Right.
Second Peter, chapter 3. And I want to just read one verse there. And verse 17, it says, "You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now, I read that verse because right now we're in a time that there are a lot of church people that are falling away with the error of the wicked. In other words, the morals in America and the world have taken a nosedive in the last 10 years, especially the last 5 years to 6 years, big time. Now the problem is this, I'm seeing the same thing happen in the church. I am seeing the same thing where our morals are going down. And this can only lead to bad. Destruction. Loss of the glory. Loss of the anointing. Loss of the presence of God. Amen. So Peter warned in those days, he said, don't be led away with the error of the wicked and you fall from your own steadfastness. See, we got to stay steadfast. In other words, If we thought something was wrong 10 years ago and now we think it's okay, don't you think you should ask yourself, why do I think it's okay now and I didn't 10 years ago?
Right?
Right. Right. It was like, you know, we're not out after anybody. You know, God, listen to me. God loves everybody. He doesn't love everything they're doing. So this fake love teaching in the church that, you know, God's love and it's philosophy. You know, the Bible warns us about, Paul said, don't fall for philosophy in Colossians. What is philosophy? It's deducing things. We deduce God's love, therefore there's no hell because love wouldn't send people to hell. Well, first of all, love never sent anybody to hell. He rescued them out of hell.
Right.
They have to accept his way out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So, you understand, see, that's philosophy. And there's a lot of philosophizing that's passing for preaching today, and it's just philosophy. It's just the people deducing things. They don't have any solid scripture. But, you know, it's like Dr. Barclay said one time. He said one of the Supreme Court justices told him, you know, when it came up to the gay marriage thing in 2015, here's what he told Dr. Barclay. He said it was wrong 200 years ago. What would make it right now? Now, why is the church accepting things? We accept people to get them delivered. We don't hate people, right? You know, people are bound by a lot of things, right? But we don't normalize it. Right? We don't say it's normal. We say you need help. You need delivered. Come get help and delivered. We're not going to beat on you. We're not going to beat you up because we're all sinners. We all did things, whether it was that or something else, we were doing wrong, right? So we all need deliverance. So we don't normalize. We don't normalize adultery. We don't normalize lying. Amen. We don't normalize getting drunk. We don't normalize any of these things. Amen. We don't normalize, you know, aborting babies. We don't normalize. But yet, see, a lot of the church is falling from their steadfastness through the because of the wicked, the error of the wicked. We've got to stay steadfast. You say we're going to get persecuted when we do. Well, you know what? You need to just grow a little bit of skin about you. The Bible says if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Right? And that's, you know, some preachers, they're whining and crying right now because, oh my gosh, they kicked me off Facebook. Well, wow. Isn't that awful? Do you know what the Bible said they did when they beat him in the book of Acts? They went out and rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer shame for his name. No, Facebook shouldn't be doing some of the things they're doing, but you know what? We're all subject to get kicked off there eventually.
Yeah.
Right? You know. So, I mean, my gosh, you know, the last I remember in the 1980s, we had a move of God. We didn't even have Facebook. Pastor's preaching against Facebook. No, I'm not preaching against de-Facebook, Insta-slam, or any of those. You can use them for good. But I'm just simply saying, now we're getting persecuted.
Yeah.
It's like preachers are crying on TV. I mean, stop that. Shut up. Slap yourself.
Yeah, amen.
Act like a man.
Amen.
And say, I'm going to preach the word no matter what.
Right.
Kick me off. Hey, remove my card to the human race. I'm still preaching the word of God. Amen. Is this good preaching or what? We got to be steadfast in these days, folks, because I'm telling you, whether you realize it or not, it is a plot of the devil to move the church. Because if he can get the church to compromise, he's got the whole shooting match, man. Amen. Because once we change the standard, it's changed. Right? But the Bible said we should let the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard. There's got to be a standard, amen? And it's got to be a standard of holiness, steadfastness. And we're not moving, we're not changing, we're not, no. Well, people won't come to your church. Well, then they just won't come to the church. Well, what if everybody leaves the church? Well, Phyllis and I go where it's warm weather. I'll leave that alone. We don't want to get in trouble with people from there, all right? Well, we may have people come here from there. I don't know, but anyway. So, and we understand that it's just a ploy of the devil to bring the church down, to lower the standards, and we got to remain steadfast. Don't be led away with the error of the wicked. But the psalmist said this in Psalm 78, talking about the children of Israel not being steadfast in their heart. But God had told them, he said, you teach your children my precepts, my commandments, and my word. In other words, what if we as the church don't pass on the truth to the next generation, they're not going to have it.
Right.
Right? And if they're, you know, and if every church in America would stick to the word of God, right? We don't all have to be perfect. We don't all have to believe alike, but we do have to believe the basic tenets of the word of God about who Jesus is and moralness and morality and holiness.
Right.
And what the Bible plainly tells us. You may think that the two witnesses are Enoch and Elijah. Somebody else may think it's Moses and Jeremiah. We're good. Right? You know, and there are churches where they believe in certain things, manifestations of the Spirit. Others don't. Well, you're just missing out. But it's not something called damnable heresy.
Right.
People that something could cost you your soul. So, you know, it's going to cost you when you don't believe the word, of course, but there's things that you cannot believe in the Bible and you'll still go to heaven. You don't have to believe in healing to go to heaven, but you're missing something, all right? So the church has to pass this on to the next generation because if we're expecting the colleges to and the politicians to and society to, we're badly mistaken because they're not going to get it. And the problem is there's just too many churches today that aren't passing on the word to the children. They're not teaching them right from wrong. They're not teaching them, you know, that God's a holy God. They're not teaching these things any longer. And so they're just taught, we don't judge. You know, that's a big buzzword in the Christian church right now. Oh, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Well, the Bible says, Paul said, God judges those without. Don't you judge those that are within? And that doesn't mean judge them to damnation. It just means, like the Amplified Bible, Paul told Timothy, show people where in their lives are wrong. Right. Preach the word to them. Amen. You know, you can't make them do it, but you can at least give them the word on it. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.